Good morning. Let's continue our study in Christian doctrines. This morning we'll be looking at the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 15. And we hope to get a new pile of confessions quite soon so you can follow along if you don't already have one. We're looking at chapter 15, which is about repentance. And let me read the first two paragraphs to you now. Repentance unto life is an evangelical grace. The doctrine whereof is to be preached by every minister of the gospel, as well as that of faith in Christ. By it, a sinner out of the sight and sense not only of the danger, but also of the filthiness and odiousness of his sins, as contrary to the holy nature and righteous law of God, and upon apprehension of his mercy in Christ, to such as are penitent, so grieves for and hates his sins, as to turn from them all unto God, purposing and endeavoring to walk with him in all the ways of his commandments. In the past couple of weeks, we've been thinking about saving faith and its importance, the importance of faith in Christ for all of life and for the life that is to come. But when the scriptures do speak of life, they often not only speak of faith, but also of the repentance that leads to life, or repentance unto life. Repentance is an evangelical or a gospel grace because it's needed for salvation, a point that will be explained later on in this chapter with more fullness. Repentance is also a gospel grace because it teaches us to reflect upon Christ himself. I think that's a point that the authors of the confession are making when they appoint us in a footnote to an ancient prophecy. Every Christian knows that true repentance involves a serious consideration of our own sin. But the prophet Zechariah explained that when the Spirit would be poured out, Christians would also consider the cost of their sin as it's seen in the cross of their Savior. We look on Christ, the one who is pierced, Zechariah says. And there we see the full measure of our sin. We mourn what sin required of the Son of God. Indeed, we mourn for him as one who mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one who grieves for a firstborn son. It's just this conviction of sin that overwhelmed those who in fact did hear the gospel at Pentecost. It's that view of sin that makes us mourn that Jesus had to die in order for our sins to be washed away and for us to be saved. So repentance in more than one way is important for our salvation. And it's, of course, to be preached by every minister of the gospel, as well as the need for faith in Christ. Well, we see that sort of preaching happening in the Bible, don't we? It's not just Zechariah and others who preached about the need to repent of our sins. At the beginning of his ministry, John the Baptist preached that the time had come for sinners to repent and believe the gospel. And at the end of his earthly ministry, our Lord Jesus Christ himself sounded a similar note. He told his disciples that not only the forgiveness of sins, but also repentance would be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul, too, testified both to the Jews and also to the Greeks that they had need for repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So repentance considers our sin. It considers the Savior, and it's important to stress the need for repentance to be preached. But it's also important to know more than that about repentance and to say more than that. And so paragraph 2 continues with further thoughts. We need to be reminded that people being led to repentance should really see and sense the danger of their sin. The Lord God himself urges his people to see their peril through the prophet Ezekiel, for example. Repent, he says. Turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. rid yourselves of all the offenses that you've committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die? He asks. Well, here's a call that we wish every sinner would hear and heed. But there too, we can't stop with that either. It's not simply the danger of sin. It's also its filthiness. It's repulsiveness that we need to have in mind. That too was preached by Ezekiel. He spoke of remembering evil ways and wicked deeds. He went on to say that there is a place for us to loathe ourselves for our sins and detestable practices. Well, those are strong words. But sin is a strong poison. Indeed, Isaiah compares the disposal of our cherished idols with the disposal of a menstrual cloth. We must never forget that sin is a dirty affair because it's absolutely contrary to the holy nature of God. All sin is personal, for it's against God Himself. Is that not why King David was so stricken with grief when he was confronted by Nathan the prophet with his sin? Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, he cried out to his God. It was to the Lord that he spoke when he confessed that his Maker was proved right when he spoke and justified when he judged. All sin is to be judged, for it breaks the righteous law of God. It's because we consider God's precepts to be right that we come to hate every wrong path. Well, sinners can sink to great depths of sorrow over sin, but not all remorse is real repentance. And indeed, remorse alone is certainly not repentance. There must be what Paul calls a godly sorrow that produces a Godward change. You see, repentance not only comes to hate sin, but also comes to love the Savior. This is really very important for us to understand. As we consider what God thinks of sin, we must also consider His mercy towards sinners. After all, He is the one who spoke through the prophet Joel, urging His people to return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love, and He relents from sending calamity. We can treasure the powerful understatement of Amos, who told his hearers to repent, for perhaps the Lord Almighty will have mercy. And as we consider God's mercy, we then need to grieve for and hate our sins, but also to turn from them to God. Really, is that not the most basic need that every one of us has? We were made to be with God, to have fellowship with Him. We want to be in a situation where we're no longer put to shame when we consider our God's commands. We want to consider our ways and turn our steps to walk according to God's statutes. Indeed, we want simply to follow God's righteous laws. That is our purpose as Christians. That's our endeavor, to be upright in God's sight by His grace, to turn to the Lord with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength and in all the ways of His commandments. Well, let us pray that this would be the main purpose of our repentance. Let us not only cease our foolish wanderings, but also follow in the footsteps of our Savior until one day we'll find Him in His glory where sin will be no more. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come to You this morning as we come to You every day and week by week, repenting of our many sins. We ask, Father, that You would help us to see the danger of sin. Help us not to dismiss sin as a small thing which can easily be handled by people such as ourselves. Help us too, Father, to get a sense of the horror of our sin and its weight by looking at the cross of Jesus Christ and seeing what it took to remove sin from our lives. And help us too to see how odious and filthy and repugnant sin is in Your sight as a holy God whose righteous law reflects your perfect character. But then, Father, we ask that you would not leave us in despair. We ask that you would help us in your grace and by your Spirit to turn to you and to follow in your ways until you take us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.